Taking Stock on News Talk.
Thanks to Skillnet Ireland, driving business success through innovative training and upskilling.
We're joined now by John Isle, Deputy Business Editor at the Irish Independent. John, you're very welcome. Thank you for joining us.
Always nice to speak to you, Vincent.
John, there's always a very close relationship between equities and bonds and their different valuations and what's happening on markets as the two largest kind of investment class categories. But there's a particular waltz going on at the moment, particularly on US markets between bonds and equities, which is causing a bit of volatility, causing the US Federal Reserve, the central bank, to come under a bit of pressure from investors. And it's all to do with perceptions in the market that inflation is on the way back after being missing for a long time.
That's right. And if anybody was watching the Fed yesterday, which a lot of investors would be, Jay Powell, who's the chairman of the Federal Reserve, indicated that he's very relaxed about inflation right now, notwithstanding all of the extraordinary stimulus that has been pumped into economies, not just in the United States, but across the globe to deal with the economic crisis that has flowed out from the pandemic. So yesterday, I think markets, both the bond markets and the equity markets, were looking for Powell to give them a little bit of reassurance that he was going to get inflation under control if it started to peak out above the parapet. But what he said instead was that actually he's quite relaxed and that the Fed would keep monetary policy steady. That means low rates and bond buying as necessary, even as the U.S. economy starts to improve and inflation starts to rise. Now, bondholders don't like that because inflation erodes the value of the payments they get over the lifetime of a bond. And equity holders weren't too crazy about it either. Stocks fell, I think, by 1.3% on the S&P and 2% on the NASDAQ yesterday as people started to worry whether the Fed might lose control of the recovery and that stocks might be a little bit overvalued given that. So markets are a little bit nervous, a little bit tense, because perhaps we're coming to the end of a very long multi-decade period where, you know, bonds have been under pressure and inflation has been completely under control. And if this paradigm changes, people aren't quite sure what they want to hold, what they want to invest in, how they want to deploy their money, and what things are going to look like on the other side.
Yeah, and the reason long-term, the yields on long-term bonds, that's the return on them, is rising is because the yield or return is inverse to whether bonds are being sold or bought. And they're being sold off, as you say, because investors over the longer term are concerned that rising inflation could nibble away at the value in those fixed income instruments. And therefore, the yield is rising. Historically, John, rising yields wouldn't necessarily be bad for equities markets, but the reason it's causing a bit of concern, a bit of rufflement on equity markets at the moment is that a lot of equities, particularly the tech stocks, have very high valuations, which I suppose to some degree have been justified by low yields on bonds, that there was no alternative. There was no alternative class you could invest in.
That's right. And I mean, obviously, you can't keep your money in cash now. It's worth nothing. So, yes, if the valuation of your stock depends on people fleeing another asset class, if that's the case, then it's not really based on the fundamentals, you know, behind your stock, and maybe it looks a little frothy. So we've seen things like, I was just reading this morning, actually bank stocks, if you can believe this, have performed well in recent months against tech stocks, and that is an indication of the yield curve changing, as you've said. And obviously, if yields rise, that's good for banks. You know, we've seen in our own banks here in Ireland, with interest rates very, very low, it's hard for banks to make money. So obviously, if those yields start to rise and long-term interest rates go back to a sort of more normal level, that looks better for banking. So yeah, tech was where a lot of the action was. But it's important to note also that, you know, one of the reasons we were in such a low inflation environment, so for the past two decades or past even four decades, depending on how you count it, is because of the amazing developments in technology that have moved us towards higher levels of productivity in our jobs and more automation of labor and things like that, which has actually kept inflation under control. globalization is another factor there. There's a few factors poured into it, but you know, a lot of the enthusiasm of investors for tech stocks is the belief in that sort of future where we're heading towards more automation, we're heading towards an economy that is more tech-driven. So there's a lot of fundamental justification behind that, but obviously a rotation out of some of those sectors is to be expected when markets begin to change like this.
A lot of investors seemingly now want the Fed to do more than just talk about how relaxed they are about the prospects of inflation. And some of them even looking perhaps for the Fed to initiate something like Operation Twist, the mechanism that goes right back to the 60s, whereby they would intervene on the longer term bond market to buy up bonds, more bonds there, to prevent those yields from rising.
Yeah, I mean, personally, I think it's a strange overreaction at this stage, right? We're still in the middle of a pandemic. The economic crisis is ongoing. It's not in the rearview mirror just yet. And also, I don't think we should exaggerate the scale of the spike in bonds. I mean, the 10-year went up, I think, just 7 basis points yesterday to 1.55%. And there's been a sell-off in the longer-term treasury debt at the 30-year rate. The Fed, or Jay Powell, I think, is quite relaxed because he's looking at short-term rates and saying, well, they're not elevated yet. It's out at the long-term, which actually is a vindication of our policy, which shows that there is an expectation that the steps we're taking today will create a better economy tomorrow, so that, you know, the yields will rise naturally. And inflation at 2% or a little bit higher, actually, is what the Fed is, in fact, aiming for. Inflation is still well below that. So he kind of wants to let it rip for a while and until he can reach that mandated 2% or slightly above, because that will show that the economy has recovered and can probably stabilize on its own. We shouldn't forget either the other side of the Fed's mandate, which isn't the same for the ECB, which is that the Fed is mandated to produce policy that will produce employment. And unemployment in the US is still very, very high. The impact of the pandemic on employment has been, you know, devastating. It's been catastrophic in certain industries, especially hospitality, tourism sectors. We're familiar with that here in Ireland ourselves. And I think Powell is probably looking at what the Fed can do to encourage greater employment. And I think he's willing to see higher inflation as long as employment improves, or with the aim of improving employment. Now, investors aren't really crazy about that. I think they're probably less concerned at the moment about employment versus inflation because of the impact of inflation on portfolios and, you know, the risk or the value of their holdings. But we can't forget that the Fed has both those mandates and is probably working in tandem right now with the Biden administration to reflate the U.S. economy. I think once the $1.9 trillion stimulus passes Congress, which I guess we're expecting, there'll be a total of $6 trillion that has been pumped into the U.S. economy, really unprecedented scale of fiscal stimulus. Finally, we have monetary policy and fiscal policy working together, and maybe we will get that kind of extra inflation that will help the economy recover and eventually get it back on its own feet. But in the meantime, I think markets will respond with a certain amount of volatility to that because we're not exactly sure what's on the other side of this. Now, Powell has said he would act if things became disorderly in the markets. That's the word he used, disorderly. And I suppose that means if you get massive increases, probably in the short-term yield curve, the Fed may have to intervene to do something about that. But for now, he seems quite comfortable, which ironically is making bond investors uncomfortable.
It's quite a nuanced set of mandates that the Fed has, John. As you say, not just a recovery in employment, but also a recovery in employment for minority populations in the United States, blacks and others, which could take quite a while to re-stimulate.
Oh, indeed. I mean, that's a problem the United States has been working on for well over a century, Vincent, and I don't think it's going to be solved in the short term. But I think what's being recognized politically, if not on the markets, is that, so if we back up a second and look at the kind of the political issues in the U.S. in the last 4, 5, 6 years, that I guess arguably led to the rise of Trump and then some of the political unrest in the last year, really comes back to the kind of uneven recovery after the great financial crisis that started in 2008 and the probably insufficient fiscal response to that, and in some cases, an insufficient monetary response that made the recovery from that crisis a lot harder than it had to be. If we look back at the size of the Obama stimulus, it was a fraction of what we're talking about now in terms of the pandemic. And the recovery took a lot longer as a result. Over here in Europe, we know that the powers that be preferred austerity to further stimulus, which made it much harder for the sort of peripheral economies like Ireland, Spain, Greece, and Italy, to recover sufficiently from that crisis. And I think there's a belief in central banks now, and indeed in world governments, that they don't want to make those same mistakes again, because the political problems that inequality will cause, especially among certain minority populations. We saw the Black Lives Matter protests last summer, which were in response to police behaviors, but also I think probably under there somewhere is a certain set of economic concerns. It's the same the world over. You know, comfortable, wealthy Western economies I have been trying to solve this problem of low wages and higher cost of living and expensive housing for a very long time. And maybe this crisis presents in their eyes a certain opportunity to level out the playing field a little bit. And that kind of a paradigm shift is hard for investors to deal with also, because they don't know exactly where things are going to land. And also, there's a lot of uncertainty about whether it can be achieved or not along the terms that are envisaged.
And finally, John, I suppose for those of us who are in relatively comfortable Western economies, there's probably not a whole lot to worry about in terms of this technical debate about long-term bond yields and what impact that might have on equity markets in the short term. Because as we referenced earlier, it is actually a sign that a little bit of inflation may be coming back into the market, which is actually reflective of the fact that economies are going to recover after COVID-19. Nothing to worry about, I suppose, unless there's a pretty sharp correction on equity markets, which always causes people to worry.
Exactly that. And the other thing I think maybe people are looking towards is a so-called fiscal cliff, where very suddenly the governments that are now supporting the economy suddenly decide, out of fear of the bond market or because of the way the bond market is behaving, to cut off that support. We've heard comments from our own finance minister, Pascal Donoghue, that taxes are probably going to have to rise in Ireland to pay for all of the stimulus that we've had to pump into the economy in the last year. That's not something anybody really wants to hear in the real economy, that the taxes are going to go up. And he didn't put a time frame on that, but essentially said, look, an economy like ours can't borrow indefinitely. We're going to have to find the money to pay back these deficits at some point. And that's where I guess the rubber meets the road for the real people. It doesn't matter a whole lot, as you say, these technical debates about whether we're heading towards inflation or whether we still have disinflation, et cetera, et cetera. What really matters to people is whether they have a job, what their income is going to be, and what the cost of the goods and services they have to buy are. And right now, the governments of the world have had to intervene to make sure people's basic needs can be met. I mean, in this country, we have, I think, 25-26% effective employment, and in a huge portion of the labor force is being directly supported or underwritten by the government. So that's costly. And looking down the road, if there is a sharp equity sell-off, if there is a massive spike in bond yields, and governments have to respond with that kind of austerity approach, higher taxes or lower spending, then I think we might be in a situation where the real economy begins to suffer in a way that we really don't see today in terms of these, I guess, sort of esoteric debates about bond yields and the yield curve and what's going up and what's going down. What really matters to people right now is, can the economy get back on track? Will we be working in the next year or two the way we were before the pandemic, and looking forward to a brighter future, which is what most of us care about?
Absolutely. Amen to that. We leave it there. My thanks to John Isle, Deputy Business Editor at the Irish Independent. John, thanks indeed for joining us.
Thank you.
Taking Stock on Newstalk.
Thanks to Skillnet Ireland, driving business success through innovative training and upskilling.